At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
If you're a firearms owner, and especially if you carry concealed, we invite you to enroll in a membership with our partner, the United States Concealed Carry Association, at uscca.com. The USCCA is more than 700,000 Americans from every faith, political stance, and walk of life, spanning multiple demographics. They provide life-saving education and industry-leading training, some of which comes in the form of our firearms and mental health videos that we have recently produced and which will be made available to the membership over the next 12 months. We recommend that you obtain self-defense liability insurance available through Delta Defense and the USCCA, so that if you find yourself in an act of lawful self-defense, you will be prepared for what happens before, during, and after that incident. With the common mission of saving lives, Walk the Talk America is proud to partner with the USCCA and Delta Defense, and we invite you to check out all they have to offer at uscca.com.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Rampant hacking, identity theft, mass surveillance. Defending yourself today is not an option. It's a requirement. Introducing the Conceal Shield Travel Pack from DefenderShield.com. Conceal Shield is cutting-edge wireless blocking technology that eliminates all signals, including EMF, GPS, and RFID. Place cell phones, credit cards, IDs, and other trackable items into the Conceal Shield, and they become totally invisible. Get Conceal Shield now at DefenderShield.com. Use promo code CONCEAL for 10% off. Guard your privacy, secure your data, and protect your health with Conceal Shield.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more, up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover SelfDefenseFund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
We want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Chattanooga Shooting Supplies, Inc. CSSI was founded in 1977 by two families that had a passion for hunting and the outdoors. That same passion holds true today for the second generation of family members and their 200-plus employees. Own a gun store or range? If so, you understand the importance of two-step distribution to help you meet the demand of your customers. Their mission is to exceed their customers' expectations with a strong service focus from a knowledgeable sales staff, an assortment of trusted and well-known brands, competitive pricing, and timely shipping. With over 50,000 SKUs of shooting and hunting-related products, they are in the business to help customers succeed. Learn more at ChattanoogaShooting.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Now's your chance to get the last of the Resolution Radio Blood Tees. Only a few left available before we try to do a reorder. This has been a high-selling item, and we really appreciate everyone's support in getting this shirt and showing their pride as well as showing their heritage. Nothing counts more than blood. Get yours today from Resolution Radio. Only $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It really helps the network improve, and you really get a great product to showcase what you truly believe in. Nothing counts more than blood. Only from Resolution Radio at ResolutionRDO.com. Send check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to Season 7, Episode 10 of the Firearm Trainers Podcast. This episode, we'll be talking with Michael Martin from the USCCA about the new edition of the Emergency First Aid Fundamentals course. If you like our podcast, please give us a 5-star review and share it with a friend. This will help us reach more people, and more instructors can make the world a better place with better instruction. Buckle up for another interesting episode of the Firearm Trainers Podcast. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at the FTA, the Firearm Trainers Association. Visit their website at ftaprotect.com to learn more about their instructor coverage offer and their competitive pricing. All certified instructors can apply for FTA coverage. And remember, for listening to this podcast, you can get an extra 10% off your policy by entering promo code FTP10 at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Manus X. I've been a longtime Manus user, from their original Manus X to the new Manus X10 that came out with a couple of years ago, and now excited about their most recent product, Manus Blackbeard X. The Manus Blackbeard X combines the Manus 10 and the Manus Blackbeard system into one platform for the AR-15. It unleashes a completely new capability with in-depth dynamic shooting analysis, including motion-based analysis and multi-target engagement, something no one has done before. Manus Blackbeard X connects to your smartphone via Bluetooth and can easily download the Manus X application for Android and iOS. The Manus X application gives you history on all your previous sessions as well as new drills for the modern sporting rifle. Manus X changed the way I train, and I think you'll find the Manus Blackbeard X is a great training aid for yourself and your students. Check out Manus X for more information on their Manus products, including the new Manus Blackbeard systems. That is ManusX.com.
We bring this podcast support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America that dedicates time and energy into making gun ownership more knowledgeable. Today, we're joined by Michael Martin from the United States Concealed Carry Association. Michael, thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your experience with our audience.
It's great to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, if people don't know who Michael Martin is, can you give us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I've actually got kind of two lives. So depending on who you ask, they would be convinced that I do one thing or another. So of course, the way I know you is through the USCCA. I've been involved with the USCCA for about 15 years now. I started some work early with them, doing some writing and some projects for them. But where we really kicked off the relationship is when I did Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals, the book and the training course for them. So that launched the instructor program. That grew into some additional books. I created a book called Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. But kind of the new love I've got is the one we're talking about today, which is called Emergency First Aid Fundamentals. So that book, the online training, and the instructor course and the student course are all things I've been really redeveloping over the last couple of years. And that actually grew from my other life, which is back here in my home city, which is just east of St. Paul. I'm a fire captain and paramedic. So I spend most of my day out on emergency calls and fires, and we are solving the kind of problems that I ended up writing about in Emergency First Aid Fundamentals. So if you asked the guys I work with at the fire department what I do, they'd say I'm a fire captain, and they think I do some writing. And if you ask the guys at the USCCA what I do, they'd say I write, and they think I'm a firefighter. So it's two worlds that, you know, just both loves of my life, and they really kind of merge together at this this new project, Emergency First Aid Fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, talking about Emergency First Aid Fundamentals, can you give us the listeners a little overview of what's all included in it? Because it is a very good course and very worthwhile.
Yep. So, you know, I think everybody's probably familiar with courses out there that teach first aid. You know, everybody might have come across a Red Cross first aid course or a American Heart Association CPR course. And anybody that's been a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout knows about basic first aid. I wasn't happy with a lot of the books out there. Either the books seemed to be really basic or they were too analytical and they went too deep into certain topics. So when I first started thinking about a book, I wanted to have a book that was a lot like the content type that I have in Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals. And what I mean by that is digestible chunks. So when I want to talk about a stroke or severe arterial bleeding or cardiac arrest, I wanted to be enough information so people understand the topic, but not so much that it goes to the depth that just bores people to death. So I created the first book about 8 years ago, and it was pretty proud of that. It was kind of an EMT level book. So it was beyond the basic first aid you'd find in a Red Cross course or American Heart Association course. But the course material I created was really one big course. So it was about a 10-hour long course, which meant somebody had to invest a full day to take the topic. But by the time you left that course, you had a lot of really good basic understanding about what could go wrong with a human body and how to keep somebody alive until the ambulance showed up. But the book was recreated within the last year. So I rewrote the entire book top to bottom. And one of the reasons I did that was not only just to update topics, but to make it in teachable, digestible chunks. So we created a number of mini courses out of it. So now there's a 2 to 3 hour trauma course called Save a Life, Control the Bleed, and a 2 to 3 hour CPR course called Save a Life, Restart the Heart, and even a mass casualty incident course. Everybody hears about mass shootings and, you know, incidents where multiple people are injured. So that course teaches you how to quickly triage patients, how to quickly put them into groups where they can be treated and transported off to the correct hospital. So the book got a complete makeover, completely new look, but we also launched these brand new courses that are out there being taught by upwards of 8,000 USCCA instructors right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. And I've been one of the early on certified instructors and know the people I teach the course to.
Yes.
Definitely like it, to say the least, because one of the things where What I would say if somebody was asking me is the way the book's written, it's an actionable format. So you don't get into a lot of the science and different things like that behind it, which I've seen some medical books and they go very deep into the science behind it, but it goes along and tells you basically, you know, make sure the airway's clear, make sure they're breathing, it's the circulation, doing those types of pieces, because it's put this way. You know, if you can stop the bleeding, you can hopefully got enough time to get them to the hospital.
Right. And a lot of the books that I had seen out there, you know, I read through just about all the competitive books. They are very heavy on the text and very light on the illustrations. In fact, sometimes there's just literally drawings, illustrations. So like Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals, the Emergency First Aid Fundamentals book is very heavy on photographs and step-by-step directions on how to do certain things. And you know, one of the other things that we really pushed hard in the courses is a frustration I've had with the American Heart Association CPR course, which I have to take every year as a paramedic, and the Stop the Bleed course, which I first took about 5 years ago. And I was excited to take that course, even though I was a paramedic by then. I took the course thinking, I'm going to learn something new in this course. And I didn't learn anything new. Both of those courses were really just PowerPoint up on the screen. And anybody that's taken an AHA, American Heart Association CPR course, knows there's video on the screen that you follow along with, and you're, you know, doing compressions on a mannequin that's usually on a table. I wanted this to be very scenario-based, so very heavily scenario-based, so people would understand, what would I really do if I was on a scene where somebody was shot or somebody was stabbed or somebody clutched their chest and they went down of cardiac arrest? So the scenarios get people amped up, their adrenaline's up. I work them through multiple different methods of scenarios, so by the time they leave the course, if something like that happened in real life, they'd be a lot better prepared than, you know, just watching a video on the screen and following along.
Yeah, and having them broken down into the small, easy digestible mini classes really allow you to stay focused on it too. So you're not trying to get 8 hours in and trying to remember what you did the first hour.
I think the USCCA, at least in this space, in the firearm space, has really kind of championed this idea of these mini courses. You know, we know people's attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. So even for somebody to take a 6 or 8 hour long concealed carry course, that's a lot. But breaking that into 3 or 4 chunks, and the same thing with emergency first aid fundamentals, you know, I can get somebody through a 2 to 3 hour save a life, control the bleed course, and they've absorbed an enormous amount of information, and they'll leave with that information still stuck in their brain. But if I forced them to go through a 2-day course, not sure how much they'd retain. That's a great course as well. So our full course is now a 2-day, 16-hour course, but that's for the discriminating buyer. I think everybody else, you know, much prefers the short courses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know last year when I went through the version 2 at the Train to Learn event, it was really neat to go along and actually see how it was applied in practice, to where instead of just going along and looking at posters and different things, which are great, you know, from learning some of it. But when you put it in practice, you really realize how complicated it can be.
Right. And one of the things you saw at Train and Learn was I'd been thinking for a long time about, how do I simulate injuries? One of the things that I do as a paramedic is sometimes we'll go to courses where they'll use moulage, which is basically makeup. So they might make up a simulated victim. They might add, you know, realistic looking gunshot wounds or stab wounds, and you treat that patient, but it's a one-shot scenario. You treat that patient, everything gets smeared, and the training is done. So I wanted to think of a way on how could I run multiple scenarios, one after another, but have everyone, every one of the scenarios be different. So I came up with this idea of trauma tags. So you saw at Train and Learn, I have red trauma tags marked with different types of injuries, like evisceration, spurting blood, dripping blood, bubbling blood. And using these black Velcro bands, I can mark them on somebody's arm, their chest, their abdomen, their back, their head, their neck, their leg. I can hide those things under clothing. So when I do the scenarios, it forces somebody to go in, assess the patient, maybe even cut clothing away. And we'll prepare students to bring an extra set of clothing. They'll get that patient trauma naked, and they'll have to very quickly identify head to toe, where are the injuries? What are the priority injuries? Like you saw, if you see a tag that says dripping blood, you have to ignore that and you move on until you've assessed the entire patient, until you determine there's no spurting blood. And if you find that spurting blood, you treat that first. And we treat the patient during these scenarios with the real thing. So you'd apply a tourniquet, maybe not as tight as you normally would. And we have training chest seals and training wound packing gauze, and we'll use real compression bandages, and we might even evacuate the patient. So if we're simulating that this is in a a mass shooting environment, we can still hear gunfire. We may train that we then remove that patient from the threat area. So that was a fun event we did last summer, and I'm doing that exact one again in May. So we're going to put 60 students through this 2 hour long save a life, control the bleed course using all these things. And at that one, I'll even add some advanced things. We'll even put a nasal airway or two in one of the students who's brave enough to try that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I know that with having those trauma tags on was in our victim that we had to check, they were unconscious, but we had to go along, roll him over to check his back.
Right.
And it's one of those types of things to where haven't had to do that before, because it was always, you know, whatever was visible, but it reminds you that sometimes you may have to go along and put that chest wound or put the chest seal on their back as well as their front and realize exactly what you're right. doing.
In fact, during these scenarios, I'll coach the victim or victims. And I should say that during many of these scenarios, we have more than one victim. So we might start with one victim with a couple wounds. Then we'll go to one victim with several wounds, and they'll have to prioritize what those injuries are. Then we'll move on to two victims or even three or more victims where all of the victims may not be apparent. One victim might be behind a sofa. One victim might be in a bedroom behind the bed. So they've got to find them. And I coach the victims to yell and scream about an obvious injury, like what we're simulating is a severed brachial artery on the arm. So they're screaming about that, but they don't say anything about the wound to their back. So the rescuers might apply that tourniquet, pat themselves on the back and think we did this scenario perfectly. And then I'll add some new information and I'll say your patient's no longer talking to you. Your patient's no longer responsive. So they realize they missed something and they've got to keep moving. So it really makes you think through the situation where if I came upon a true shooting victim, I've got to find every single hole in that person and make the priority decisions very quickly and not miss anything.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we're talking shooting victims here. You know, the victim could really be almost anytime, anywhere. I do a lot of backpacking out in the woods, go hunting out in the woods. And the one situation I always go along and tell people about that, knowing first aid is extremely important. When you're hiking, you're not most of the time next to the road. When you're hunting, you're definitely not someplace somebody can easily find most of the time. And those are situations to where even the quickest, 911 call and EMS response might still take them 15, 20 minutes right. to get to where you are. And you got to know what to do to basically do no harm and be able to recognize what the issues are.
Yeah. In the industry you and I are in, it's easy to talk about shootings, but there are industrial accidents, motor vehicle accidents. One of the scenarios that I use in the book and the course is about a tree being chainsawed down and the tree kind of collapsed and blew up and wood shrapnel flew. And that's, you know, as bad as lead shrapnel. So knowing how to treat those injuries, regardless of where the hole in the body came from. And it's, you know, one of the things that maybe is surprising to a lot of people when we consider all the ways people can die. Trauma is actually the leading cause of death for people up to the age of 46. So between age 1 to 46, it's the number one cause of death, and that accounts for about 80,000 deaths a year. And these are people who somehow had a hole appear in their body and it wasn't plugged in time, so they die from that injury. So knowing how to use a tourniquet properly. And I emphasize that word because six times in my career now, I've come upon a scene where a tourniquet's been applied and blood is still spraying out. So it is easy to improperly apply a tourniquet. You know, like you saw in the scenario, knowing how to find that little tiny hole on the back that might have a little bit of blood bubbling out or a little mucus bubbling out. You know, there's no blood spurting out, but that hole in that torso is going to kill that person as sure as a severed artery. So we have a lot of fun with the scenarios. I do the same course with police officers. And one of the things I teach them is you've got to get that vest off because you got to look for those holes under that vest. So I'll hide these trauma tags under there and they, feel a great sense of victory when they get that vest off and they find the red tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where, you know, again, you've got to be ready for any kind of accident, any kind of situation and, do a thorough investigation or assessment of your patient.
Yep. And, you know, we're talking the Control the Bleed course, but one of the other favorite courses I have that came out of this is another one of the Save a Life courses called Save a Life, Restart the Heart. So I love the way we came up with that name, Restart the Heart, as opposed to just a CPR course. You know, we want people to think in terms of, I have to do everything in my power to get that heart back to a normal rhythm. And it's also very, very scenario based. So this one actually does go into the science a little bit more than an American Heart Association course, because I want people to understand the importance of that AED. I want them to understand, what does it do? What are its shortcomings? And that course is also very scenario based as well. So there's six scenarios that we work up through these different levels of skills, and at different points in the class, we run a scenario, and I will literally put the scenario up on the screen and we'll read it, and it'll give people goosebumps because we're making these real, and I make them as real as I can. One of the things we joke about in EMS is we've never had a cardiac arrest patient go down in the middle of a room with 20 feet of space on either side of them. They're always behind a toilet or on the other side of the bed, or they're in a room where there's no room to work at all. So in some of these scenarios, I'll push the patients out of the room, and then the other instructors and I will turn the mannequins upside down, and we'll cover it in chairs, or we'll move tables in the way of it. So one of the very first things the students have to do is rush back in that room and get access to the patient. So we make it as real as possible. I don't want to give away too much, but we even do one thing with a pediatric patient with an infant mannequin that as soon as I say start scenario, I add something into it that no one is prepared for. And immediately, I mean, people say goosebumps. Immediately, they just get goosebumps as they're dealing with, and I'll give a little hint, they're dealing with a distraught parent, as you'd expect if a 1-year-old went into pool and was pulled out. So we try to amp this up. I had one USCCA training counselor who took the course actually was a little choked up after he took the course. And he said, this is the best goddamn CPR course I've ever taken. And he kind of explained what he'd done before and why he thought this was so different. And that was a great compliment to what we produced here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've taken American Heart and Red Cross CPR training, and I prefer the USCCAs because of the scenarios.
You know, yeah, I didn't necessarily base them on real scenarios, but I've actually become friends or reacquainted with a gentleman that went down of a cardiac arrest, coincidentally, about 100 feet north of my house. So I happened to be working that day, and a call came in that a runner was down, and I was not at home. I was coming from one station to another. So I hit the gas, and I was on scene in about 2 minutes and had shocked his heart 2 minutes and 37 seconds after the call came in. And 90 seconds after that, I checked the rhythm again, and we had him back to a regular heart rhythm. So, you know, I think about what had to happen in that kind of situation. It wasn't a calm situation where we're watching a video on the screen and the patient is laying on a table, making it easy for us to do chest compressions on. There was a person on scene who knew what he was doing. He saw him go down, checked a pulse, felt he had no pulse, and started some of the best chest compressions I've ever seen. So when I arrived on scene, I said, keep doing that. And I pulled out my heart monitor that's a $35,000 version of an AED. It does the same thing an AED does. I just get to decide if I'm going to shock or not. And we got his heart back. So because of all those situations I've been in, that's why I think scenario based as opposed to just skills based, which I think all the other courses really really focus mm-hmm. on.
Agreed. Michael, who all recognizes the certification from for the emergency first aid fundamentals?
So the one of the biggest things that we actually fall into recognition with is OSHA. So OSHA requires first aid courses across multiple industries. Companies big and small, they have to have OSHA people trained meeting these OSHA requirements for a first aid course. So we met that even with the first version of EFAF. Now, one of the things we might do is produce just a purely OSHA course. So it would be a 4 or 5 hour course that would not only contain the CPR, but it would also contain the control of the bleed and just other things that you and I had chatted about where we have to have recognition of. Maybe we don't have treatment of on scene, but recognizing things like hypoglycemia, someone having low blood sugar, or someone having a stroke, or someone having a seizure, or someone having a syncopal episode that's a fancy way of saying fainting. You know, understanding the causes of those and the treatment, if there's anything to be done on scene, or if the only treatment is calling 911. So there's some other certification boards that we're pursuing. I'm a little bit torn on those things because I'm not sure how important those things are. For example, one of the questions we'll occasionally get when someone takes the CPR course is, do I get an American Heart Association CPR card with this course? And my reaction is, well, this is not an American Heart Association course. This is a longer course. You're going to be doing things. You're not sitting on your butt watching a video on the screen. And one of the things I'll say to those people as well is, if you need that kind of card for your job, you know, if you're a lifeguard and they say you have to have this card from the American Heart Association, or if you know, teachers union says you got to have it, have this card from the American Red Cross, I tell them, well, go get that, but then come to us to really learn what to do in these situations. And I joke that anytime I've ever arrived on scene, and I've been on, I'm in upwards of 150 cardiac arrests at this point, maybe a third of those, I arrive on scene and someone's actually doing CPR. The others, nobody's doing anything. But the ones where I do see CPR, I've never once stopped and asked the person, where did you learn your CPR? They're either doing good compressions or they're doing terrible compressions. And if they're doing good compressions, it's probably because they have a more elaborate background than just taking an AHA CPR course. In fact, the guy that was on the scene I described a minute ago, just up the road from my house, was an off-duty cop. And I didn't ask him that. I didn't know that, but I saw him just pounding on this guy's chest with fast, deep chest compressions. And I thought, he knows what he's doing. I'm going to have him keep doing that while I got my monitor ready. So, you know, recognition is meaningful, and we want to help people out if they need it for their jobs. But more importantly, we want them to be trained really, really well on these skills.
Yeah, it's important, because when you talk about those deep chest compressions, one of the things that I always mention to my students, because they need to realize this, is it's highly likely that you're going to crack people's ribs. And yes, the older the person is, the worse it's going to sound. Like a 70, 80-year-old, it's going to sound like a bag of potato chips as you're doing compressions, but it's better than the other than going the other way.
it's not a joke we made up, but you know, it's a, I think a phrase used frequently in EMS is, if you've got concerns about breaking their ribs, they're already dead. We're trying to make them not dead. So you might pop ribs or crack ribs if you're doing chest compressions correctly. And if you're doing chest compressions incorrectly, they're going to remain dead. So in fact, the, I'll use one more story from the guy that went down just up the road. I'll finish the story on that, because it's actually kind of funny. So I shocked him 30 seconds after I arrived on scene. And typically what you do when you do a shock, whether it's from an AED or a big heart monitor, is you don't look at the heart rhythm again at that point. You always give 2 minutes of CPR, because you're kind of priming the pump again. So if the heart rhythm is returned to normal, you do two additional minutes of CPR, because you're getting that pump running again. But I was feeling good about him. He was a healthy looking guy, you know, real solid looking. So after 90 seconds, I asked the guy doing chest compressions to pause. I put my fingers on his carotid artery. I felt a good solid pulse. I could see on the monitor he was back in sinus rhythm. So really good solid pulse. The ambulance arrived. We loaded him up. And I've never had a cardiac arrest victim wake up in the ambulance and talk to us, but he started groaning. And we ended up asking him his name, told us his name, told us where he lived, and we got him to the hospital. And in this kind of event, it's not like what you're used to in the hospital with, you know, being rolled in a room with one nurse. There are eight people in that room, and they all swarm him. They all, you know, do additional treatment for him. And once things calmed down, I walked back up to him, and I, you know, I had a real conversation with him, and his eyes kind of cleared, and he looked at me closely, and he said, "Are you Michael Martin?" And it turned out we knew each other. So we hadn't seen each other for about 10 or 12 years, but I thought, this is the, I'll tell you that. The funny thing is when he said that, I thought, is this guy a USCCA instructor or USCCA a student? But it turned out we'd met at a New Year's Eve party through some mutual friends 10 or 12 years ago, and, you know, had stayed in touch over Facebook. But it was a great ending to that. And I guess the part of the story I missed was, the one thing he complained about on the ambulance was, my chest is killing me. And it wasn't from chest pain from the cardiac event. It was from chest pain from, you know, 300 or 400 times getting that sternum mashed down almost to his backbone. So that's what kept him alive.
Yep. Well, that's good. That's a good story. And kind of funny how he knew you at the end there. Hey, Michael, quick question, what's the requirements for going along and becoming a, emergency first aid fundamentals instructor for those people that are both USCCA instructors and those that are listening that might not be USCCA instructors yet.
So I'm hoping that we'll have some news about this. I don't want to throw out a date, but there's been a lot of discussion on revising how we certify instructors. Right now, the core curriculum for anyone wanted to teach for the USCCA is concealed carry and home defense fundamentals. And one of the reasons that is the core curriculum isn't because we expect that, you know, you'd start a first aid class with a gun class. The reason that's the core curriculum is because that course includes the topics about how to teach, how to impart knowledge, how to present PowerPoint slides, how to answer questions in class. So to become an emergency first aid fundamentals instructor today, you'd have to go through concealed carry and home defense fundamentals. Now, the hope is that we'll break away that how to teach module. So if somebody just wanted to teach, and we call it EFAF, E-F-A-F, emergency first aid fundamentals. If somebody just wanted to teach EFAF at some point, and I don't know how soon that'll be, they would just take the instructor module, then they would take the EFAF instructor course, and they could go teach all these mini courses. And I like that idea because even people who, you know, enjoy shooting and are into guns may not want to go teach a concealed carry course, but they might love teaching a 2-hour long control the bleed course or a 2 or 3 hour long CPR course, you know, teaching them through all those scenarios. So, you know, at some point, I think that evolution is going to happen. But right now, the group that can become certified in this are those 8,000 plus concealed carry and home defense fundamentals instructors. Ask me that question again in a year, and I hope we got thousands and thousands of other people just teaching the first aid courses. And, you know, we may ultimately have a instructor course just for the mini courses. You know, if somebody just wants to teach the control the bleed course, I'd love to have that. We could do a 2 to 3 hour instructor course, you know, run them through some virtual training, but some then live training as well on how they would teach this. It's not tough. I've always described this as, especially the bleeding control topics, kind of Boy Scout level things. You know, for first aid merit badge, you learn about compression bandages and tourniquets. I just kind of amp that up on steroids to turn it into the Save a Life Control the Bleed course.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, it's a very worthwhile course. And as we were talking before the show, most of us are firearm instructors. But when you think about, you know, the likelihood of us using our firearm is extremely low throughout our life. Using our first aid knowledge is probably pretty high, that if we haven't used it already to do a Heimlich maneuver, do chest compressions, just go along and stop the bleed because somebody cut their arm or something on something sharp. It's very applicable no matter what.
And, you know, that applies not only to us as civilians, but even across professionals. So, like, if I looked at my city, we've got about 70,000 residents in the city, 80 police officers. We've got about 40 firefighter paramedics and EMTs. You know, the number of times our cops draw their gun or shoot their gun. In fact, I can't remember the last time a trigger was pressed here in the city compared to the number of times we are pulling out tourniquets and compression bandages and figuring out whether the chest seal is going to be necessary, you know, it's exponentially larger. So, you know, it applies across everybody, professionals and civilians as well. You know, one of the things that I always encourage people to think about as well is don't think that you've solved every problem that might occur by having that tourniquet in your pocket or a tourniquet in your bag. You know, tourniquets are great for four parts of our body, our arms and our legs. But if, you know, we're injured in a robbery or, you know, some other kind of attack, that attacker is probably not aiming for our arms or legs or, hand or feet. They're aiming for our core, and a tourniquet isn't going to work there. So understanding how things like compression bandages work or wound packing or the chest seal you had talked about. In fact, I kind of hate that word chest seal because it implies to people it only goes in front. It should be called a torso seal. It's meant to plug holes in the back or on the sides as well. Anything that's entered through to the where the lung space is, or what's called the pleural space. So, I answer questions all the time about what might go into a range bag or an IFAC or a larger first aid kit. And it's kind of fun pulling these things together. And we cover all those topics in the control of the bleed course.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, Michael, definitely appreciate you coming on and lending your expertise for it. I recommend that our listeners check out the emergency first aid course, see if they want to get certified with it, because I think it's worthwhile. But before we let you go, can you go along and answer our season 7 question? And that is, what do you do for your mental health each day?
That is a great question. And it's pertinent for me because of so many medical calls we get. Mental health is always a significant part of it. And I described this to you earlier, that as we assess a patient and we ask about their health history, you know, we'll ask about things like cardiac history or diabetes or stroke history. One of the other questions we always ask is, do you have any history of depression or anxiety? And when somebody says no to me, I kind of raise my eyebrows and I say, really? You know, anxiety is just such a common thing for people. So because I see it so much, I think every day about what do I do to make sure that that doesn't overtake my life. So one of the things I always do every day is I read a book, whether it's a chapter or two chapters. That's very different for me than flipping through TikTok or reading through Facebook or reading through the news. That doesn't seem to reduce anxiety at all, but kind of immersing myself in a book is very good. The second thing I always do is I make sure I get at least 5 or 10 minutes of real conversation with my wife and with my two sons. Now, my oldest son is away to college, but, you know, having a short conversation with him just kind of grounds me, and it kind of pushes everything else away, no matter what noise is going on with either of my careers at the USCCA or at the fire department. And then I take care of myself as well. I may not be as fun as I used to be 15 or 20 years ago, but I don't drink. I know that alcohol is something that some people use to reduce anxiety, but it usually creates more anxiety. So I find that not needing that or using that as a crutch is something that probably keeps my anxiety low and depression or other mental health at bay. We see so many patients that the core of what's going on might be mental health, but alcohol piled on top of that, you know, just makes things many, many times worse. So that's a great question. And I think I'll ask that question to my own coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you brought up the whole point about, you know, chemicals, whether it's alcohol or drugs over the counter, it doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes they don't always help. If you're not talking to somebody, you know, professional who can go along and tell you what to do, because self-medicating that is doesn't really work out good for most people.
I agree.
Well, Michael, where can the instructors find out more information about you and the Emergency First Aid Fundamental class?
The website is so easy to remember. Just go to uscca.com and there's a training link at the top. So that lists all the courses we have. They've kind of highlighted some of the new mini courses that we've launched with Emergency First Aid Fundamentals. So if somebody's interested, they can just get access one of a couple ways. They can buy the book, and the book contains everything that's taught in the course. They can take the online course that contains everything in the book, or they can sign up with an instructor through the training website. Find instructors that teach any of these courses. They're all around the country. So pick one that interests you, and I would bet that if somebody takes one of the Save a Life courses, they're going to want to take the second one, and if they take the second one, they may even want to take the full 2-day course, which is a ton of fun. We even do things like building a field expedient traction splint in that course. So whatever you wanted to know about how to save somebody's life, you learn in that big course, but we also include most of the things in these mini courses as well.
Well, that's great. I will include that information in the show notes for anybody who needs those. And Michael, again, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Yeah, have a good day. That's a wrap for this episode. I hope you found what Michael Martin was talking about with the changes I made with Emergency First Aid Fundamentals interesting, and maybe go out and purchase a course or update it, whichever you want to do. If you're searching for more information to help your business out, don't forget to visit our website at www.firearmtrainerpodcast.com and search in the upper right-hand corner. If you have questions, suggestions for me, you can reach out to me on the website or by email at ftp@concealedcarry.com. I also want to ask you to follow us on Facebook and don't forget to register for the Guardian Conference coming up in September. And remember, we bring you this podcast to support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America that dedicates time and energy into making gun ownership more knowledgeable.
Concealed Carry Inc. and ConcealedCarry.com strives to share helpful information and education about gun-related topics, training tips, and other things that may potentially have legal implications for its listeners. The information contained in this podcast is intended in good faith, but it is important to understand that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand laws that apply to them. Nothing in this podcast should be misconstrued as legal advice or counsel.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
This is the Justice Report weekly recap for May 6th to May 11th, 2024. Support independent journalism. Become a paid supporter via our Substack, Odyssey, or website, and gain access to the full versions of our exclusive audio editions just like these. Today's story. A white Old Miss student was kicked from his fraternity after defending Israel. Oxford, Mississippi. A white frat bro who felt compelled to mock and heckle a female black leftist at the University of Mississippi last week to preserve Israel's interests has officially been expelled from his fraternity following a viral video on social media. The young man, whose identity is being withheld by the Justice Report, now faces threats and possible expulsion from the school even after conservative influencers promoted his actions as a patriotic gesture in defiance of anti-Zionist rhetoric quickly fomenting on college campuses. The incident began last week during ongoing pro-Palestine demonstrations at the University of Mississippi, commonly referred to as Ole Miss. Quickly labeled a Zionist frat bro, a viral video of the student, who can be seen wearing a blue shirt and making racially charged gestures towards a visually obese black leftist, quickly sparked a national debate over campus confrontations. On Sunday, however, the leadership of the student's fraternity, Phi Delta Theta, announced in a statement that it had officially cut ties with the student over what it believes to be acts of overt racism. Additionally, Ole Miss announced that it was launching a probe into the student's behavior and is investigating at least one. Some say the student will likely be expelled for his reckless display if sufficient evidence is gathered. Multiple students, including the individual wearing the blue shirt, were quickly doxxed by the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People on Instagram, which showcased photo collages of those believed to have made racist comments in the video. The institutional crackdown on white frat bros confronting pro-Palestine demonstrators came amid a quick and concentrated effort by Republican politicians and social media influencers to lionize them for their ill-advised efforts. At the height of the short-lived pro-Israel frat bro craze, video clips of the incident at Ole Miss and another frat-related act of defiance at the University of North Carolina were featured in a Trump 2024 campaign ad. The move, however, was dismissed by some as a cheap way to lull conservative fence-sitters into supporting Israel, namely by offering an avenue to rhetorically own their liberal counterparts. The reason? To shore up support during an unprecedented domestic crisis for the regime in Tel Aviv.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 8, 2024. Today's story. A Jewish Hollywood screenwriter is busted in a live-streamed pedophile sting. Los Angeles, California. A famous Hollywood screenwriter, credited for writing numerous blockbusters like Space Jam, Trading Places, and Kindergarten Cop, was busted allegedly trying to meet a 15-year-old girl for sex. The alarming confrontation was captured by professional live streamers Vitaly and Bradley Martin, who caught the exact moments the Hollywood creative fled from questioning. The video, now seen by millions of users worldwide on X, formerly Twitter, depicts a gray-haired and visibly Jewish man attempting to dodge scrutiny as he sits next to a young white decoy. When a physically imposing Bradley Martin questions him, the Jewish man, who used the name Boris but was later identified as 74-year-old Hollywood screenwriter Herschel Allen Weingrod, admits he met the girl knowing she was only 15 years old. "You're having a piece of pizza with a 15-year-old?" asked Martin. "I messaged her. She was 23 on a dating site," said Weingrod. "We've just been talking and flirting, but it's not a big deal," he continued, timidly downplaying the encounter. When confronted with the age the girl actually provided and text messages to prove it, Weingrod becomes anxious and attempts to force his way out of the conversation. He can then be seen fleeing down the street from the group of live streamers, eventually tagged by clouds of pink and blue smoke shot from an unknown device. A prestigious London Film School graduate, Weingrod has been cited as the brilliant mind behind numerous Hollywood blockbusters, beloved by American movie fans. Some of the work attributed to him include 1983's Trading Places, 1985's Brewster's Millions, the classic 1990 Arnold Schwarzenegger film Kindergarten Cop, and the runaway box office hit Space Jam in 1996. Online, the outrageous video sparked a discussion surrounding the moral degeneracy of Hollywood power figures like Weingrod. Others highlighted his Jewish ancestry as a factor not to be overlooked. "Another Jewish pedophile, shocking," said ex-Twitter user Enora Vishingnik. "Is this the anti-Semitic attacks they've been talking about?" said another. "Wow, I sure hope he doesn't have a passport to somewhere known for harboring pedos," said another user, hinting towards the embattled Jewish state of Israel.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 9, 2024. Today's story. A black man is arrested for the execution-style murder of two white parents over a basketball hoop, Wellington, Florida. A black man was arrested for the brutal execution-style murder of his two white neighbors on Saturday, leaving behind four children without a mom and dad. The suspect was a celebrated black airline mechanic now being referred to as a, quote, sweet man, who allegedly shot in self-defense. According to reports, 63-year-old Norman Scott is now facing first-degree murder charges for the gunshot murder of Tara Marie and Taylor Glenn Jones, two white parents living next door in Wellington's posh Black Diamond neighborhood. Investigators said the shooting took place Saturday evening and may have been motivated by a petty dispute over a basketball hoop in the neighbor's property line. An eyewitness claimed that when he was attempting to render aid to the victims, Scott came outside and confessed to the crime, saying, "Don't worry, I shot them both." Scott was said to have told the witness that the shooting initially stemmed from an argument with his neighbors over the property. He then called 911 and confessed to authorities that he shot both white parents in self-defense after they attacked him, investigators said. Security camera footage proved differently, however. An arrest report said neither of the victims were observed behaving in an aggressive manner or displaying any form of threatening behavior in front of Scott. The video surveillance evidence unequivocally establishes the shooting was completely malicious and unprovoked, read the arrest report. Both were shot a total of three times. For the murder of both Taylor and Tara Jones, Scott is currently being held without bail and faces two counts of first-degree premeditated murder with a firearm. According to local real estate websites, Wellington's Black Diamond area is described as an opulent, gated community whose residents earn over six figures on average. Featuring private lake access and a 24-hour manned security post, the looming specter of black violence still found a way to creep into this majority-white enclave and take with it two devoted parents. For more news like this, visit justicereport.news and subscribe to our Telegram, Substack, and Odyssey to keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. Become a paid supporter and gain access to our full archive of audio articles and enjoy the Justice Report on the go.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hundreds, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic, but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Grab a hold of big breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try 2 breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
Family, this is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
I meant what I fucking said. And now I got a bunch of people asking me, oh, what are we going to do? What should we do? Educate yourself. Spread the word. The United Nations has just declared war on the truth. They're telling you outright, if you speak up, you're a conspiracy theorist. Shouldn't be believed. Should be approached in a certain fashion. The authority should be contacted and all kinds of neat shit. If they want war, arm yourself with facts. Get out there and start telling the people. You don't want to do it on social media? Do it in person. Do it on the telephone. Do it like we used to do, standing around on the street corner having a coffee. Do you know who your enemy is? The World Economic Forum. 51 years they've been working at this. They've been planning and scheming, working as hard as they can. And now, here we are. Klaus Schwab has admitted that for over 45 years, they've been working directly with CCP. Now here we are in Canada and the U.S. We got 5G, military-grade 5G technology right across the country. Where did it come from? Who owns that technology? And what's going to happen when they don't like us? Get to know your enemy. Get to know the facts. Beat the fuck up. Be a warrior. That's what we need to do, instead of following Marcus like a bunch of fucking sheep.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.